Hello, my name is Shayla Livingston. I'm 26 years old. Today is April 22nd, 2012. We're in San Francisco, and I'm here with my father, Michael, and my grandfather, Barry.
My name is Michael Livingston, and I am 58. Today is April 22nd, 2012, back in San Francisco, and I'm here with my daughter, Shayla, and my father, Barry.
Hi, my name is Barry Livingston. I'm 85 years old. Today is April 22nd, 2012. The location is San Francisco, born and raised, and a grandson and granddaughter. Not grandson, son and granddaughter.
All right, so Grandbear, as you said, you were born and raised in San Francisco. But where exactly did you grow up?
Well, I first lived down in Hillsboro with my Georgia Borman and my father, but I really grew up in San Francisco. We came back when they were separated. We moved back to San Francisco, so I grew up in the city.
What street?
Oh, started out on Jackson Street, and then moved to 2728 Union.
So that's only within a few blocks of where you live now, right?
Oh, it's two blocks away.
Two blocks away. So also two blocks away, there's this house that has a large pine tree.
And that's 2728 Union Street, and it did have a pine tree in the backyard. We used to spend some time in the summer on the Truckee River, and I caught squirrels, or chipmunks actually, and had a cage in the backyard. At one point had four or five chipmunks, and it was a pretty big cage, so I had to cut a couple of branches out of the tree. And actually now, some 70 years later, you can see the space in the tree. It's way taller than most of the houses, but you can see the space in the tree from the corner of Lyon Street.
So we're here in San Francisco, and there's always people walking dogs, and there's the dog walkers.
We started it. Lauren Tryon and I started the business 100 years ago, well, maybe only 70. And when we were each walking four dogs at, I think, 25 cents a dog, we were ecstatic. Now these guys are walking six and eight dogs at $15 a head. I'm jealous.
You want a commission.
I want a commission.
Dad, will you tell us your real name?
Barman Livingston. Barman is my grandfather's last name, D.W. Barman.
And where was he from?
Their family was from Buffalo, New York. I don't know I'm ashamed to say I don't know where they came from, but I think it was Germany.
And where?
German Jew.
And where did your father's parents come from?
They came from Germany, a little town that I have trouble pronouncing. Livingston was obviously not their last name. When they came to Ellis Island, they didn't change it, but the boys who wrote out the names just wrote out Livingston. It was either, I think it was more like Lurbenstein.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And what, did they come over all at once or one at a time?
The three young men came over. They were seven. One of them was 17, so the others were plus or minus, which is amazing age. They came over and to go to work. They lived a little in the Midwest, went down to Los Angeles for a period of time, like 3 or 4 years, and then moved to the Bay, moved to San Francisco, where they eventually started the retail store.
So can you tell us a little bit about Livingston Brothers and its beginning and maybe the fire and earthquake?
Well, the beginning was with the three boys, and they started, I think their first store was on Fillmore Street. The fire moved them down to Grant Avenue in Geary.
That was the fire from the 1906 earthquake.
Yeah. Our famous story is the boys had rented a wagon and were taking some of the merchandise to one of the family's houses in the city, And Caruso had been here singing at the opera the night before, and he was also on a wagon, but his wagon was lighter and faster, and he almost drove him off the road.
And then they started up pretty quickly after the fire. How were they able to do that?
They were able to start up after the fire because their contact, one of the, Sam, actually, my grandfather, had an office in New York. And their contacts in New York sent them merchandise without being paid for it. So we were able to get merchandise quickly. And for that reason, we sold a lot of better merchandise. People weren't buying rags. They were buying riches. And so they did very well right after the fire.
And what was it like to walk into one of those stores?
I didn't walk into one of those stores way back then. San Francisco, when you went downtown, you dressed, the women dressed very well. Coats, wool coats, dresses, double handle bag, definitely a hat, fancy shoes. So you just didn't go shopping downtown in a pair of jeans.
The story is that David used to greet the first customers at the door with carnations. Is that true? Do you remember that story?
I have no idea, but he could have greeted them.
Uh-huh. Okay. And do you remember when you first started working at Livingston Brothers?
Yes, I was given an assignment to do everything. I opened boxes. I put tags on merchandise. I worked in the stock control office. But I remained the boss's son, so I was well cared for.
And where did you graduate from high school?
I started a high school at Lowell, we were living on Union Street at the time, took the old E-car down to Fillmore Street, took the Fillmore Street cable cars up to the top of Fillmore and Union. Fillmore and Jackson, I guess, and then took the 22 down to the 5 and the 5 out to Lowell. But I graduated from Fountain Valley because Dad went back in the service after my first year and went up to Camp Stoneman, so they shipped me off to boarding school.
Right. And then when did you get drafted?
I didn't get drafted. I volunteered. But only to avoid being drafted because I didn't want to go into the Army. I preferred the Navy. And so I volunteered for the Navy and was on an ammunition ship in the South Pacific. Would you believe bringing ammunition back from Australia to San Francisco?
Yeah. Great. And you any stories about that you want to tell us about?
Well, the ammunition ship that had picked up ammunition just before us exploded, so the Aussies weren't loading the ships, and we did. So when we were loading the 5-inch shells, which were big and had grommets around the base of them, you're supposed to lay them down, but it was much easier to stand them up, which we did. Well, we hit a little rough weather. The grommets worked their way up. The shells were rolling all over the base of the ship, the C-2 hull. Just a freight. The ships we made thousands of. And I went up and told the officer of the deck. He sent me to the captain. We had to go back and restack the ammunition. I was not considered a prize.
Is that when the name Livingston became persona non grata in the Navy?
Yes, I was transferred on arrival in San Francisco.
So tell us, Dad, the story about hitchhiking home day.
Hitchhiking home after boot camp. In those days, everybody gave a serviceman a ride anywhere. I probably hitchhiked from San Diego up to San Francisco. I was on the other side. I'd crossed the Bay Bridge. I was hitchhiking up to Pittsburgh, where Camp Stoneman was. And the family drove by me in their nice new convertible.
And I didn't guess, stop?
I guess they didn't recognize me.
So your mom and dad drove right by you.
Mom and dad drove right by me. Well, and Peggy and Carl.
Peggy and Carl, right.
And you had you brought a shell back with you?
Well, but it's a little souvenir.
All right.
Dad, tell us about the 49ers. You're a long-time 49ers fan. How far back do you go?
I go back way back to Kezar. I was there for the catch. The best thing about going to Kezar, I had a secret parking place right at the edge of the panhandle where it goes into Golden Gate Park. And I could park for free a block away from the stadium.
Completely illegal.
Completely illegal, but no tickets on Sunday.
No tickets on Sunday. San Francisco's changed a little bit.
A little bit.
So, Dad, one of our favorite places was to go up to the Circle 3L Ranch. Do you have any particular stories of the ranch that you'd like to tell? Memories?
Well, the ranch was completely. It was trees. There wasn't any open area, but they did keep some horses and some chickens, and it was fun taking care of the horses, grooming them. You were actually able to do a little riding around then because everything wasn't fenced off. But now, of course, you can't ride anywhere.
Right. Right, but you learned to ride from an early age.
When we were up at the staying on the Truckee River, we used to go. There was a stable on the way into Tahoe, and we used to ride out from there.
Just for the record, you did just ride last weekend, even.
I rode last weekend.
85 years old.
It's still the same.
Dad, you. You love the outdoors, and you've introduced both Brian, my brother, and me to skiing and backpacking and biking at an early age, something that we've kept up with our families. So can you tell us a little bit about skiing and some of those early memories of skiing at Tahoe?
We did a lot of skiing up at Squaw Valley. I thought it was great. We were up there early and late. Lunch on the Hill.
Can you tell us a little bit about Lunch on the Hill? Where was your favorite place to eat?
We were off of KT-22, off to the side there with a wonderful view, and we eventually met another guy who ate up there. We exchanged recipes. I think mine was. Apples and mustard, and his was a little fancier.
Yeah, I think he entered just to Yum Yum cookies, and he liked your Grey Poupon.
Yeah.
Do you remember when Alex Cushing, the owner, raised his prices $2 that one time from $7 to $9?
From $7 to $9, we were the first on the lift and the last off the lift. Was absolutely ridiculous.
I do remember that you forced us to ski in any weather condition. Some terrible memories of skiing in the rain, forbidden to go back into the lodge. Do you have any memories? My memory is that you used to take Brian and me to a fairly inexpensive accommodation in Truckee.
It was not a whorehouse.
It was not a whorehouse.
It had a lot of single rooms, but it was not a whorehouse.
And I have a very fond memory of returning home with you. You used to like to take Brian and me separately because you claimed that you could get a lot of information out of us on those long four-hour trips.
That we had our best conversations on those four-hour trips. Yes, I did have. It was hard to stay awake after a long day skiing, so our next-door neighbor, who was a doctor, gave me what I called stay-awake pills. I inadvertently told him that it was almost more fun to drive home than to ski, and he took the pills away from me. I think they were something else.
And one of my favorite memories of skiing with you was how much you appreciated the outdoors. And do you remember what you used to make us say on the chairlift?
Ooh-ah.
Ooh-ah. That's right. You used to make us say ooh-ah. You said you wouldn't take us back up again.
And what kind of gear did you guys use?
Oh, we had the proper ski gear. The skis were tall enough to hit the, when you raised your arm up, they hit the middle of your palm. They were about 5 or 6 inches wide with lovely secure
bindings that would take your knee off.
If you fell down, they didn't come off.
The safety strap was as dangerous as the binding.
Your other granddaughter, Zoe, is very glad that they've come up with better technology.
And a better skier.
Dad, you were in the fashion industry for a long time, and do you remember that one product that came along years ago that you claimed was going to revolutionize the industry?
Ultra suede. They let it go by. But I wore it for about 10 years.
Proudly.
Just to go back to when you were in boot camp, you said that your grandfather came to visit you.
Yeah, that was a really sad story. Because my mother and father separated at an early age, I really didn't know my grandfather. But when I finished boot camp, he came out to San Diego to visit me and stayed at the great old hotel down
there.
Coronado Hotel. And we had dinner and talked, but I was just a dumb kid. I had no idea what it meant to him, and now as a grandparent, I am sad.
Dad, we had dogs as we were growing up, a number of them, and I'm wondering if you could talk to me about Baron, our first purchase.
Baron was accused of biting in several people, including Brian, but it was never proven in court.
So you're defending Baron to this day. And do you remember he was a particular mix of dogs? Do you remember what it was?
I've forgotten what the mix was, but he was big and bold.
I think it was Doberman Pinscher and Boxer.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Lovely.
And he was driven away to a security compound when you were on a trip to New York by our mother. Do you remember that?
I do. I've never quite forgiven her.
So back to skiing. There's something about the chairlift crashing at Shirley Lake.
I actually had to ask Michael about that. I forgot about it. But we were standing at the base of Shirley Lake ski lift to get on it, and all of a sudden the chairs broke and came, the cable backed up or something, and came going backwards, and people falling off and piling up in a pile. We were trying to yell at them to jump off, but they didn't jump off, and they were dumped off. And we had to walk back out, but our favorite remembrances of the course, that we didn't get a free ride. We got to walk out.
And they had advertised free tickets at the top, and of course there was no one there.
So you were in real estate after Livingston Bros. Why did Livingston Bros close?
Livingston Brothers closed. I left before we closed. But for a while there, the whole city was a sea of old German Jewish retail stores, Livingston's, Ransdorf, Liebes, David Schoenwasser. We actually lasted the longest independently, but the daughters were coming along and they weren't about to go in these old ladies' homes.
Yeah.
I mean, we had a nice department for the daughters, but they wouldn't even go in. They wouldn't even go in the stores. The reason we'd lasted as long as we did, we had a number of branch stores, some of which were just 4,000 square feet, and they served the community that they were in. The one on Chestnut Street was an old Italian neighborhood. We had two in the Embarcadero Center, which were working women. One out in Laurel Village was very fancy. So they kept us in business, but we sunk it by keeping the flagship store wrong.
Do you remember what you called those little small little stores?
Oh, those were twigs.
Twigs, right.
The thing you have to remember about those stores, inventory control then as it is now is the name of the game. But in inventory control then, we were using those three-part tickets with the department number, the manufacturer number, the style number, the color, and the size. We'd print those tickets, put them on the merchandise, tear them off when we sold them. When the tickets came through, the unit control office plugged all that merchandise in on an individual page. Oh, I mean, now you scan it and you have the information in seconds. It was a project.
Mm. Right. Different world now.
Oh, I mean, the number of people doing inventory control was unbelievable.
So, Dad, getting back to your love of the outdoors, we went on an extraordinary hike when Brian and I were in our mid to late teens. You want to tell us a little bit about the John Muir Trail and its evolution with Ted? And
The John Muir Trail is, 250 miles,
yeah.
250 miles long. And Ted Tight, who was a very close friend, brought his three sons along. And we had another man was coming but didn't make it, so we had his son along. It was one of the great trips. It was a significant part of my life. We pre-packed all the food, forgetting a little bit of the rice. Somehow, about 10 pounds of rice didn't make it, so we lost a little weight. But it was an unbelievable trip.
How many fish did you eat to make up for the rice?
Oh, there were eight of us on the trip, and it was 28 days, and we ate 600 fish.
600.
They weren't very big, though. They had to be over 6 inches to keep them.
And there weren't many that were over 6 inches.
They weren't much over 6 inches.
And did you have a food drop partway through?
Yeah, we actually did have two food drops partway through. They brought them up and put them somewhere on the trail. How we worked that out, I don't remember, but it saved our butt.
We had topo maps with the packers who were taking...
Yeah.
They take an extra donkey in, and then they'd bury it under rocks. And we'd co-marked topo maps, and we just hoped that we were marking the right spot and that the bears hadn't dug it up and eaten it.
Do you remember why Dad left early?
Yes. It was amazing. The Rangers were in doing some work. And Michael seemed to have a lady friend, who was anxiously awaiting his return. And the Rangers gave him a ride out, I swear, without telling me.
What? Without even telling you?
Yeah. Really?
Until
he'd gone, but that may or may not be true.
Uncle Sam says that the John Muir Trail permanently ruined Dad's football career. Because he lost so much weight.
He did lose 20 pounds or so.
And I didn't weigh much to start with.
Speaking of uncles, you know what? This is a better one. So I love talking politics with you, and I've always enjoyed that greatly. And I am a diehard liberal, and so are you, which makes it more fun. But I hear that at one point you got a Republican elected.
Oh, Pete McCloskey. Ran for Congress, and he was, you can't believe how involved we were. He was our life. I think that was back in 68. And we sunk the good ship Lollipop. The good ship Lollipop was Shirley Temple, and she was running against him. But we had talked, there was a whole gang of us who were McCloskey fans. He was a liberal Republican. But being a liberal Republican, he didn't get anywhere in Congress, and either in any of his, I guess he was elected three times. I even made County Central Committee and went
Republican
down.
Central.
A Republican Central Committee and went down to one convention and never returned and haven't voted Republican since.
But he, in that first election, he wasn't given a snowball's chance in hell of beating Shirley Temple.
No.
And you all really actually initiated the first grassroots, ground-up door-to-door campaign it really has become.
Oh, no, I think people were doing it, but we did a hell of a job.
Yeah, it was great.
I mean, we ate, slept, your friends were for Pete McCloskey or they weren't your friends.
But I guess you weren't tweeting, so were you really just going door-to-door?
It was door-to-door. No, we weren't tweeting. And there weren't even telephone. I don't think we did a lot of telephone calls. I think it was strictly door-to-door.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have many more questions here. Getting back to your love of the outdoors, you provided bikes for Ryan, Zoe, Shayla, for Brian, me, Lori. You've been getting people out on bikes. When did you start biking, and can you tell us about some of your biking exploits?
My biking exploits, I didn't have any great biking exploits.
No, but you've got a few memorable stories.
I did fall off a few times.
Yeah.
You're probably thinking of the time I went over the handlebars in the Presidio going around the curve.
Uh-huh. Right, and then there was the second time I remember where someone opened their door, and you had already done that once, and so you reminded me that you were cognizant of the whole thing enough to be able to swear at the guy as you were flying through the air.
And I'm still worried about doors as I drive by them in cars. Car doors.
Yeah.
As a San Franciscan, you've told me a couple stories about the Golden Gate Bridge, which you live very close to.
I walked over it on opening day, and Carol and I walked over it on the 50th anniversary when it had all those people on it, and it sunk about 4 feet. It was the thing that's amazing about that is how well-behaved everybody was. People were coming from Marin, and we were coming from San Francisco. Everybody just turned around very calmly and walked back the way they came. I don't think anybody yelled or screamed or ran. They turned around and started. But it did drop. I think it dropped several feet. It was spooky.
So you were out on the bridge on opening day.
I was out on the bridge on opening day.
Great.
And right now I'm in school, and so are you.
Yes.
Can you tell us about where you go to school?
It's great. Fromm School out at USF, School for Old Folks, no test. Which the students love, and the professors love even more because they're doing their favorite shtick and they don't have to grade any garbage.
Excuse me.
But it's great. We go out two days, sometimes 3 days a week, and take one or two classes a day.
Dad, you're in remarkable health at 85. You love to walk. You walk a lot. But as Shayla reports here, we can't help but notice that you can eat one or two itses.
I only eat one it at lunch.
And you're sticking with that story.
And I'm sticking with that story. And it's due to my exercise and that I'm in such good shape.
And so tell us about you've enjoyed ice cream, and Swenson's is your favorite?
Oh, Swenson's up on Swenson's on Union and Hyde. You worked, you told
no,
me.
No, I worked at the Swenson's in Palo Alto, but that was my first job following in your...
The Swenson's on... Barbara and I lived on 1048 Union, and it was just a half a block away from Swenson's. Mm-hmm. I used to occasionally go for an evening dessert.
Occasionally. I do remember dinners in San Francisco with you and Mom and Brian where we would eat and out in the... Mission or Sunset area out in Clement, and then drive all the way across town to go to Swenson's for an ice cream on the way home.
Well, it was only proper.
So, speaking of food, you and Carol have taught me lots about wine, and you started that tradition when I was 13, and Zoe, Ryan, and I have all benefited from your amazing generosity and the incredible travels that you have done in your life, and you gave us for our 13th birthday the present of going to whatever city we would like to go to, and being a 13-year-old girl, I chose Paris. And do you want to tell the story about me receiving a little bit of wine from a waiter?
I tell that story quite often. We decided where to go to dinner, which was a big decision of the day, and we were in some little bistro. And the waiter asked if Mamselle would like a little wine, and we said yes. And he came back, and he was pouring a little more. And we said, no, she's driving. And and it went around the restaurant that was hysterical. You could hear the story going around the restaurant. She's driving.
Do you remember where you went with Zoe and Ryan on what cities?
Zoe went to London to do the theater, and Ryan went to Rome.
Were you surprised by those choices?
No.
So when you worked for Livingston Bros, you traveled to buy, is that correct?
Yeah, we bought overseas, which is one of the reasons we lasted as long as we did. We actually bought with 14 other stores. One of them was a little store called Nordstrom's, using the term loosely. It was a little store then. They were mostly a shoe store. But we take the good fashions. Liz Claiborne, for example, was a hot line in those days. We take her spring styles over and have them made in fall fabrics in different countries, actually starting in Japan. Japan was an inexpensive market in those days. But we went from Japan to Korea to Singapore to Hong Kong. Hong Kong was great. They used to say at the... Oh, I forgot the hotel. It was a wonderful hotel.
I hear the stewardesses looked different, too.
The steward on the planes were properly dressed with at least 6-inch skirts.
And you and Carol also made some trips of your own. You traveled to China. Do you remember arriving down in Mexico for a Christmas gathering with your goods?
I remember arriving in Mexico when you'd had your sabbatical, and we brought our gifts all the way from China.
All the way from China.
That's right, where you peeled chilorianos and shrimps endlessly, I think.
So we've talked about From. How about SCORE? Can you tell us a little bit about the work you do at SCORE?
I volunteer at SCORE, and SCORE helps small startup businesses. It works for the SBA, and it helps small and startup businesses. And it's interesting because I'm helping people who are going into the retail business. They're going to rent property. I was a retail real estate broker, so I can tell them what the rental things is. I can talk to them about stock control, and I can talk to them about display. Because display is the name of the game. My favorite story is everybody comes into your shop and they tell you how wonderful things are. They come back 2 weeks later and ask, what's new? And the way you get around that what's new is you change the display. You put a different jacket over a different shirt, and it looks new.
Right.
Dad, you were born really sort of technology as we know it in its absolute infancy, and much of it didn't exist at all. But you're an iPad user and a computer user. So can you talk to us a little bit about sort of growing up with that evolution of technology?
We mentioned before keeping stock control. Now you just swipe it. So the technology is everything. Even when I left Livingston Brothers and was a real estate broker, I kept my information about space available and space on 3x5 cards. So I had the location on the card. At that time, they were starting to put it on computers. I didn't. But if you're on computer, you can have the square feet. You can list it by square feet. You can list it by location. You can list it by price. I had it by location. And going through 3x5 cards made for an early retirement.
But now you can talk to Ryan in Finland over Skype.
Yes.
And we're going to get the iPad 2 with the camera that you can do it from your iPad.
And it's very nice to sit on the sofa with your iPad and a glass of wine off to the right.
To check your mail.
You check your mail. You're doing important things like checking the mail.
Speaking of Ryan in Finland, one of the questions we have here is, Will you go to Finland when Ryan gets married?
We'll have to, because we'll never see him again if we don't.
Okay, so you're on the record.
I'm on the record.
You're going to make the trip to Finland. Okay, great.
So, Grimber, I just want to say that having lived out here for 2 years, it's been so fun and wonderful to get to know you better. And, sorry. I'm just so grateful for everything you've done for me and my siblings.
It's been fun having you. It's nice to meet Paul. We're a little jealous of Paul. He seems to be taking you away.
Yes. As Carol says, you didn't get a vote.
No. Paul being the next...
that could be the next marriage. Yeah, that could be the next marriage ceremony. You wouldn't have to travel as far, but
no.
We won't share this copy with Paul right away.
I guess he doesn't get to be married out by the pond either. We're not going to have a wedding by the pond.
Wow. Oh, I don't know.
We'll see.
Not the same pond.
Oh, man. Dad, any other things you'd like to talk about from, we have just a few minutes left here, from your childhood, any other stories that you'd like to share?
I think we've covered it pretty much. We did have one story on the Truckee River. The family used to stay at the house in the Truckee River that rented it during the summer. I think from the Menzies, who were friends. It was right across from this place where people were going to build a ski village called Squaw Valley. And I can remember my father and his buddies sitting out on the deck and saying, "What are they going to build another ski village for? We already have Sugar Bowl." That could have been why Livingston Brothers didn't last either.
Oh, also, will you tell us how the Circle 3L, what does that stand for?
The Circle 3L Ranch, the Circle 3L Woods, was Peggy, Carl, and Brun.
Peggy, Carl, and Brun.
Yeah.
And Peggy became your stepmom when you were how old, Dad? Do you remember?
Probably 10. Something like that.
And she was pretty young herself.
She was quite young herself. Yeah.
Do you remember how old she was at the time?
No. She'd been.
And she and Carl had quite the social life.
Yes, they were. Social life was very formal, and it was a different world back in San Francisco in those days, going to the symphony and the opera and the junior league and all that stuff. Yeah.
And she was on the
DeYoung Museum
and right.
You still do all those things, but now you can do it in jeans, right?
Yes. going to the symphony, the ballet, it's just hysterical. I mean, when you know what it used to look like.
Great. Well, Dad, this has been a real pleasure and a privilege. And I just want to know if there's anything else you'd like to add.
Well, it's not a bad inquisition.
The session formerly known as the Inquisition. As we bring it to a close, thank you, Dad. We love you. Look forward to sharing this with everybody in the family. It's really been a lot of fun. Thanks so much.
Okay.